95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm Kathy Romano, your host. Margaritas, palomas, tequila on the rocks, whatever your preference, our next guest has something you're going to want to try. Mara Smith started drinking tequila when she was looking for a gluten-free drink and looked for years for an additive-free option. So instead of continuing to search, she created her own tequila brand. Inspiro Tequila is crafted from 100% Blue Weber agave and contains no additives. Mara was once a lawyer at one of the largest law firms in Chicago, then moved to a Fortune 100 company before starting her own business. Mara is joining me today to share her story. Hi, Mara.
Hi.
Thanks so much for coming on. So are you from Chicago?
I am. Born and raised in the suburbs of Chicago. Went downstate to Illinois for undergrad. Came back to Chicago again for law school, Northwestern, and lived in the city for a while. And now I'm back to the northern suburbs of Chicago again.
So I was recently in Chicago. They actually have the Museum of Broadcasting Communications right in the city of Chicago. And I was there with my other show, the Preston and Steve Show, because they were inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. And so we were out there for the ceremony. And so we were in the city, but it's a great city. I loved it there.
It is. Chicago's a great city. It's better when it's not the dead of winter here.
Right.
But it is great. The summers especially are just fantastic. And everybody is out and about and outside, because we really look forward to and appreciate when we get some good weather.
You know what? That actually reminded me. I just saw an Instagram video of a ship coming up the Chicago River and just cutting a straight line through the ice in the river.
Yes, I can imagine that. Yeah.
So tell me about your professional career and what led you to create your own tequila.
I don't have a background in the spirits industry. My undergrad degree was in accounting, and then I went to law school. And after law school, I practiced at a large law firm for many years in transactional law. Then decided to switch over to the business side of it and kind of use my business degree and work in corporate strategy and business development. And I was at McDonald's Corporation. My career kind of came to a screeching halt. I became pregnant with twins when I was at McDonald's, and I was put on emergency bed rest. So that put everything on hold. I then had preemie twins, and I made the decision to stay home, to focus on my family and taking care of my kids. I thought they needed my attention at that time. That actually is probably the biggest trajectory of my life, because I don't think I ever foresaw that I would actually leave the workforce. I don't think anyone else anticipated that either, because I was just very driven and kind of myopically focused on achieving the next goal and moving up. And then that all came to a halt. So after many years of being home and becoming CEO of my household, I had always been thinking about, what do I want to do next? I knew I wanted to start my own company because I wanted it to be something that I truly enjoy. I kept coming back to tequila. I was going to start something. I wanted to be something that I enjoy, and something actually I enjoy sharing with my friends. I had become a tequila drinker years ago. I have a pretty active lifestyle. I've been gluten-free for over a decade. And when I was looking for a cleaner spirit option, I turned to tequila, and I found really great high-quality tequilas, not the kind that used to make you sick in college, but really great tequilas. As I was drinking tequila, I started discovering so many women were telling me tequila is their drink of choice. But I just didn't think that any brand really focused on its consumers, even positioning, right, using scantily clad women or these dark club scenes, things that just didn't personally resonate with me. So many women were choosing tequila because it is a cleaner option, the same reason I am. I discovered that actually so many brands use additives. And as I looked into it further, I realized they add coloring, flavoring, glycerin. And I kept thinking, well, I'm choosing it because I want this like clean option, because it's 100% agave, plant-based. You just feel better after drinking tequila the next day than other things that have a lot of sugar in them. Well, that's why I'm choosing it. And all these women, all these really thoughtful consumers, that's why they're choosing tequila. Well, why would we want anything else added in it? Why would it want additives? So it's kind of how I set out on this. I just really wanted to create something that I thought had a look, taste, and aroma that was very focused on this consumer and doing it in a consumer-centric way. And then also creating the taste profiles that they were looking for, but without using additives.
So it's a clean tequila. There's no additives in it.
Correct. We're confirmed additive-free. There's a new confirmation process by an entity in Mexico called Tequila Matchmaker, and we are part of that program now, and we've been confirmed additive-free.
Now, Inspiro Tequila, what's the meaning behind Inspiro?
Inspiro means inspired in Spanish. I named this company after two women who were my inspirations, my grandmother and my mother. They always believed in me. I think gave me the confidence to think I can do anything, including enter into a brand new industry that I didn't know anything about previously. I think because I always had their support and the utmost confidence in me, it gave me the confidence in myself.
Your grandmother was a Holocaust survivor.
Yes. So my grandmother passed away a few years ago. She was a major, major influence in my life. A Holocaust survivor. She was the matriarch of our family. She came here with very little formal education because she went into a concentration camp at a very young age. I feel like I got a lot of her business acumen and mathematical skills because even though she didn't have a lot of formal education, she had incredible business acumen. And she always had real focus on math abilities. As a young girl, I tended to gravitate towards mathematical subject areas, including in college. I guess I never was aware that so few women were in those areas. I mean, I started out studying engineering. It didn't kind of occur to me. Now, looking back at the time, probably were very, very few women in my classes. But I feel like because she was so ahead of her time, kind of instilled in me not only those skills, but that I could excel in those areas.
Did she ever talk about being in the concentration camp or any other stories?
Yes, she did. She went to speak at many schools, including my older children's school when they were in junior high. She would go to a lot of different venues. My mom is a big advocate for many causes, and she'd bring her around. My grandmother spoke at, I mean, just numerous churches and schools and to really share her story and educate people about it. She has a lot of stories. A lot of them are really, really difficult to hear. She lost basically everybody except for one sister in the Holocaust. Between both my grandparents and their families, we lost 150 members of our family. I think hearing her stories always made us very appreciative of many things. Hearing about her rationing and trying to keep a piece of bread, not eating at all, the bread that you get in the morning and trying to save it to keep some for dinner or things like that. And very impactful stories, especially as a child.
Which led you to look at her as a role model and move on to create your own business. You credit her and your mother.
Yeah, I credit for my grandmother. She always had the utmost faith in my abilities, which I very much appreciated. My mom is also, she's a force to be reckoned with. If you want something to get done, you go to her and it gets done. Her energy and her effectiveness is unreal.
What is the Inspiro Purple Bicycle Project?
The story about it, you can read more about it on our website. My experience at 4 years old when I coveted this very large purple bicycle that was, one, way too large for me to ride, and two, was a two-wheeler, and I had not ridden a two-wheeler before. And all of the adults in my life told me I was too small and too young and couldn't ride. I guess I could say I was very determined and probably a little bit stubborn as well. But I went out and decided that I was going to prove everybody wrong. And all day, practiced and practiced until at the end of the day, after falling over multiple times, I was finally riding. I couldn't actually sit on the seat and reach the pedals at the same time because the bike was much too big for me. But I did ride. I named our initiative to give back after that because our initiative is really to help support and inspire other female founders. And I immediately thought of that story because when I thought about how hard it is to start a new venture and all the bumps along the road and obstacles and people telling you no, especially for women who have been out of the workforce, the numbers are incredibly low as far as the ability to re-enter the workforce once a woman has a two-year gap in the resume. So that here's this group of women who I really want to inspire and help support. I thought the story was very relevant to what we want to do, that is to provide that support. So we offer grants. We just announced a new grant with the Enthuse Foundation, and it's a professional development grant where a female founder can apply and receive a grant for professional development. So if you're reentering the workforce, there are so many skills you need to learn. So you can use it toward webinars, education you need. I also think it's essential to join networks of really supportive and collaborative women. It could be used toward that, finding the right networks to help and support you, because even as a solo entrepreneur, it's impossible to do it all on your own, and it's really important to have a support system. So that, providing financial help for women to get started, as well as mentoring. I feel like I've learned so much along my journey, even though it's still a young journey. There have just been so many learnings. And if there's any way for me to share some of that with another woman getting started and maybe save them a few steps along the way, I hope I can do that. So that's what's behind the Inspiral Purple Bicycle Project, which really our giving back initiative.
Who is your distiller and how closely do you work with them?
Our distillery is located in Amatitan, Mexico. But we brought in our own master distiller. So that was really important to me because women are so underrepresented in the spirits industry. If I was going to do this, I really wanted to bring a female perspective in every part of our process. So the first step was finding a female master distiller. So we actually brought on Ana Maria Romero Mena, who is just legendary in Mexico. And she is the one who creates our taste profiles for us. So she works at the distillery. It's a little bit like bringing our own chef into someone else's kitchen. And really, she was able to bring to life what my vision was. We set her out kind of on the mission of, here's what we're looking for, and can you create it, and can you create it without using any additives? So she formulated a really meticulous process. It's very little bite, is very easy to drink, and has the sweet notes with some hints of citrus that we thought this customer is really looking for.
Where can people buy your tequila?
Right now, we're for sale on InspiroTequila.com. We hope to be entering into retailer soon, and we ship nationwide.
Okay. And is there a way for people to taste it to see if they like it, or they just have to buy the bottle?
Unfortunately, it's impossible to get a tasting, but we do a lot of women's events. So we go around the country and try and bring it to a lot of different women's events and different charitable organizations and things like that so that we can get people to try it.
Are you doing any events in the Philadelphia area anytime soon?
Not yet, but I think we will be doing something sometime in the summer. I'm working with someone who runs this organization, the We Win Network, and I think she's going to be having an event there.
I love a well-made skinny margarita without the mix and all of that.
So, by the way, I have a great skinny margarita recipe.
Oh, good.
On our website, and that's how I drink it. If you like a skinny margarita, because I also do not like any mix-ins, and I don't like any liqueurs added, so I basically, it's a 1-to-1 ratio of lime juice to tequila. So usually it's like 1.5 ounce tequila, 1.5 ounce lime juice with like 1/2 ounce of agave syrup. And that's it.
Okay.
For a skinny margarita. My favorite way to drink Inspiro tequila is really on the rocks with a splash of soda. I'm really a tequila soda girl. That's how I like it. Just really clean and simple.
And on your website, do you have drink recipes that people can find?
Lots and lots of cocktail recipes, amazing cocktail recipes, and we actually even feature a different female mixologist every month who makes an Inspiro cocktail for us and give it a little bit about her story, her background, and the drink she made for us. But we do have a lot of cocktail recipes on our website.
Great. Well, Mara, thank you so much for sharing your story this morning.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
For more information about Mara's Tequila or to see if they'll be attending an event near you, you can go to the website InspiroTequila.com for more information.
This is Her Story with Kathy Romano on 95.7 Ben FM.
The ARC Gloucester is an organization that designs programs that encourage individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities to thrive at home, at work, and at play. The organization supports each person's needs and works with them to achieve their goals. Today's guest has been working with the ARC Gloucester for over 30 years. Lisa Conley, the CEO of the organization, started as an administrative assistant, made her way to public affairs director, and is now serving as the chief executive officer. Lisa is joining me today to share her story. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So for those who are not familiar with the ARC Gloucester, can you tell us about the organization and what exactly you provide to the community?
Sure, I would be happy to do that. The ARC Gloucester provides services to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We are located in Gloucester County, New Jersey. And we offer a wide variety of programs and services, residential programs, day habilitation and vocational services, and respite programs. We have 18 residential programs that include supervised apartments, and we are very excited that we're getting ready to open our second medical group home. That should be happening anytime now. We're almost there. Our pre-vocational and day habilitation services, we have supported employment where individuals will work with a job coach that helps them to find opportunities for employment in the community. And then our respite programs, which include a Camp Sun and Fun, in-home respite, Saturday drop-off, after-school program, and our Tuckahoe House, which is a short-term respite home located right on the grounds of our camp. So we have a big variety of programs and services. We strive to support individuals and their families in all aspects of their life, and I think that we do a really good job of that.
Now, you started working there over 30 years ago, so just talk a little bit about how you ended up there and for so long.
Sure. I came to the ARC Gloucester. I like to say that I was, 12 when I started. I came here and started my career as a confidential secretary while I was still going to college, and worked here throughout my college years and, of course, stayed with the agency after that. It really has become a part of my heart. I am so proud to work here. I love the work that we do. Everybody that is associated with the organization, I truly feel like they're my family. The individuals that we serve, their families and caregivers, our employees, it is just such a rewarding place to work and truly feel like you are contributing to the lives of the people that we serve.
What are your responsibilities as CEO now with the ARC?
Of course, I oversee the operations of the agency. I have a wonderful team of people who I work very closely with every day. It ranges from financial management to, of course, the services that we provide for the individuals to the operations of the agency, our facilities. It's a pretty big range of responsibilities, but I'm so grateful to have such a good team of people around me that helps to oversee everything that we do.
You talked about the programs that you offer. The programs are offered to adults, children, and families, correct?
Mostly to adults. Adults are our primary audience, our primary recipients of services for residential. They receive residential services, day habilitation, and vocational services in addition to respite services. Children are eligible to receive our respite services, so we do serve them at our camp, at Tuckahoe House, in-home respite. Families, of course, we support in any way that we possibly can. We advocate if there's opportunities to bring families together so that they can get that support from one another, we do that. So we have parent education classes that we offer at least once a year, and we try to share as much information and resources as we possibly can.
You mentioned Camp Sun and Fun. What is that?
So Camp Sun and Fun is located in Williamstown, New Jersey. It is a residential and day camp. So each summer we have individuals who come and they can spend a week. It's a little bit different this year because we're coming out of the pandemic, but the way that it is generally set up is individuals will register to attend a week or 2 weeks of camp. They spend the night. There's all sorts of activities that they participate in, learning opportunities. We have an Olympic size, fully accessible swimming pool. And we have staff who come to us from around the world, and we really capture that as part of our programming. We have a Christmas in July celebration, but throughout that whole week leading up to it, we celebrate all sorts of holidays from every part of the globe, which is a lot of fun. And then there is also a day camp piece where somebody who may not be quite ready to come and stay overnight at camp can come for a week, or they may register for more than 1 week and just spend time with us at our day camp. And we utilize camp, which has a beautiful facility on it called Sunshine Inn that is air conditioned, and it is a big banquet type facility when you think about a location that allows for the campers to come together and to gather on days that are too hot or the weather's not really nice. And we also then take advantage of having that building accessible to us throughout the year and provide other respite activities at the camp location.
So the camp is separate from Sunshine Inn? Sunshine Inn is just a location that you use?
Sunshine Inn is actually on the grounds of camp. We do rent it out, actually, if somebody would be interested in renting the facility for, say, a bridal shower or a birthday party. It's a really beautiful location, but it has allowed us to expand our services at camp quite a bit, like I said, utilizing it during the regular camp season for additional opportunities if the weather is not great or we all want to come together in one great big group. It's where everybody eats their meals together there, and then we have activities there throughout the year that allow us to offer other respite opportunities to families.
So I have to tell you, I was actually doing some outlet shopping this weekend, and I ended up driving through Gloucester, and I passed something, a ballroom, and I looked, and I thought, oh, what is that? And it was Auletto's Sunset Ballroom. And I thought to myself, how do I know that name? And then I remembered it's where your gala is taking place.
It is. It's beautiful, as you saw, I'm sure, just from driving by it with the lake, and they have wine cellars, and there are peacocks on the property, and it is just gorgeous. And we've been so lucky to have a long-standing relationship with Jim and Jamie Auletto, who own and operate Auletto's Catering. And we've had our gala and other events there for many, many years. Our 65th gala is coming up on April 2nd, and that's where it will be held. And we utilize every aspect of the property, from the outside tents to the wine cellar to the ballroom, and it's really such a wonderful evening.
And is the event open to the public?
It definitely is. If anybody visits our website, they can find more information about it. It's April 2nd. Our keynote speaker is Carrie Cariello, and she's author of What Color is Monday? And Someone I'm With Has Autism. And we're really looking forward to hearing her speak that evening at the event. And we're honoring Winfield and Laverne Ziegenfuss with our first ever Anna Rivera Award. Anna was our previous executive director for over 25 years, and she was my mentor and just such a wonderful advocate for the individuals that we serve. So it's such a pleasure to have this award in her honor and then to be able to present it to Winfield and Laverne, who have done so much for the ARC Gloucester over the years.
If people want to purchase tickets to the event, they can go to your website. What is your website?
It is the ARC Gloucester, G-L-O-U-C-E-S. PER.org.
And do you look for volunteers either for the event or for the organization overall?
We do. I don't know that we need too many more volunteers for the gala, but we are always looking for volunteers for the agency. And now that some of the restrictions of the pandemic have lifted a bit, we're able to bring more volunteers back in to work with us. And we have volunteers who help us at our programs. They may volunteer time at our thrift shop, or we have a volunteer who comes and works in our office all the time and has been with us for years. And we have volunteers who help at specific events. We have a golf tournament, we have a walkathon, and we're always looking for help on these big days.
Where is your thrift shop?
Our thrift shop is in Gibbstown, New Jersey. We've just reopened that after it was closed for quite a long time due to the pandemic. We have extended our hours and actually have weekend hours available now, and it stays open a little later into the evening. And it's just, there are so many great treasures there. It's in the ShopRite Shopping Plaza in Gibbstown, New Jersey.
And do some of the people involved with the organization, are they running the thrift shop?
They're not running it, but they have an opportunity to work there to learn their, enhance their vocational skills. So it's part of our vocational programming. And they can go in and have an opportunity to learn what it is like to work in a retail-type setting and operating a cash register and taking inventory and working with money. It's a great vocational program for us.
What other employment do you offer?
Well, we have our supported employment program, which is where individuals will work with a job coach and they learn skills to help them find a job. They do job searches, resume writing, interview skills, and then they will start the job seeking process. And once they are employed, the job coach will go with them on site and work with them as they learn the job that they're doing. And then as time goes on, the amount of time that the job coach spends there with them will wean off a bit. And they just help to make sure that they are successful in their job and in their employment. And they work closely with the employer who has hired the individual as well.
Lisa, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story with me.
Oh, absolutely. It was such a pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
The ARC Gloucester's 65th annual gala is taking place Friday, April 2nd at Auletto's Sunset Ballroom. To purchase tickets and for more details about the organization, you can go to thearcgloucester.org. Thanks so much for joining me today. If you missed any part of today's interview with Lisa or Mara, you can go to our website, 957benfm.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see shows, click Her Story, and the podcast will be listed right there. And if you think you know someone who would be a good fit for this show, I would love to hear about them. You can email me, herstory@957benfm.com. Just give a short description of the person that you're submitting, or if it's yourself, tell me about yourself, send a few pictures, send a bio. We would love to read about you and possibly book you on the show. Thanks so much for joining me again today. I'm Kathy Romano. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.